Looks like the kids got the idea that it's time to go to their classes, which we are grateful for. We're so glad to have so many kids in our church, and it's a blessing last Sunday when they all stood up here and there was a prayer for them, because we realized how many we have and how much of a blessing that is. We're going to talk about change, and of course in the sermon title it says change is more than pennies in your pocket. I don't know, I just came up with that and thought it was kind of creative, but it makes the whole purpose is to make us think about change. We're in the fall season, and of course all things are changing. When we get to this time of the year, we have students that are going off to college and some that are coming here to college. We have high school students that have started school and some that will start soon. Families that have new babies, and we have children that are going to kindergarten and grade school and middle school. So that we see change in our lives and we see the opportunity to grow. We have a changing neighborhood. If we look around us, we see over here to our east a lot of housing development that's going on. Part of our program today is to take out flyers and invite people to come to our church. And yesterday, or in the evening, Carol and I and Skylar and Callie walked into this neighborhood, and we're walking around, and what we found was people were friendly. We actually talked to people that were living there in the neighborhood, and we had conversations, and we found that the people were more than willing or more friendly to us than we expected, and that they're new residents, and they're trying to get to know each other, and that we have a great opportunity to just let them know that we want them to come and invite them. I remember in my family, when I was young, that we have five children in our family, and we did not go to church. There was somebody in the neighborhood or a friends of my parents that said, you know, I think your kids should go to church. And they thought, well, I guess you're right. What do you do? What are you supposed to do? How do you do that, you know? And they said, well, you just bring them and leave them there, and then you come pick them up. So that's what they started out doing. And I remember we went to Sunday school and junior church. And I'm sure that it was because that it was the closest church in the neighborhood. That's why we went there. So that's why I'm Baptist, because that's where we end up going. And so after a while, there was a knock on the door, and it was the pastor. And he talked to my parents, and they said, you know, we love your kids, and we're glad that they are coming to church. Why don't you maybe try it? So my mom and dad came to church, and it was the beginning of us going continually. But the point being is that we were invited. We were invited by someone to come, and we came. And it made a difference in my life. Obviously, God had a plan for me. And so just imagine if there's somebody out there in that neighborhood that would be in that situation, that we could see their life change and see God use them in their life. So if you would just give us a few minutes of your time. There are maps, everything's mapped out. So all you have to do is pick it up and follow the directions. And in about 10, 15 minutes, you'll be able to accomplish that goal. There may be someone talk to you too, but it's okay, they're friendly over there. We had a good visit over there with them. We go through change, and as we go through change, our lives get busier when we go through that. The pace picks up, we start to juggle responsibilities in the fall, and as the seasons change, our lives change. Sometimes we say, I want to slow down, I want to get off this fast lane, but life is short, and we try to push limits, we try to do as much as we can in the time that we have. And there are times when we want to put change in the back burner because we say, I've had enough change. Wait a minute. But how do we juggle and eliminate activities, or how do we eliminate people, or how do we eliminate things in our schedules? We have to make decisions like that. If we stop changing, we stop growing. I remember times when I wanted time to be frozen. I wanted time to Just be the way it is at that moment. I remember playing in a basketball game, and it was a close game, and we were going back and forth, and we'd win the game. And I go, man, I just wish this feeling would just last a little longer. You get to the next day, and you start practice over again. You go, gosh, I got a new day. But it'd be nice for that feeling to last a lot longer. When I graduated from high school, I liked high school, and I just wanted school to keep going right through the summer. I didn't want to have to leave and face the challenges of a new life and say, well, now I'm on my own. I didn't want to do that. I thought, man, I just want to have this senior year continue so I don't have to face those challenges. I fell in love with my college sweetheart, Carol, and I wanted time to stay still. Man, wouldn't it be great to just be dating your whole life, you know? And that would be fun. And so that was great, you know, time to be that way. I remember my kids came around. We had three children. They're all little, cute, and fun to be with. I thought, man, if time could just be still now, and they could be little all of their life, you know, and then you look back at the pictures and you go, gosh, I remember those stages. If that could just last a little longer, that would be awesome. I remember my parents growing older and thinking about that. I think, you know, I don't want to lose them. I don't want them to get older. I don't want them not to be able to do things. I don't want them to go through those stages. And of course, I lost my mom and still have my dad, so I'm thankful for my dad being there. I remember being in ministries and God calling me into a ministry, and then God asking me to leave a ministry and saying, no, I don't want to change. Lord, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy what I'm doing, but I had to listen to his call. And you know, that's what happened with Pastor Dave and Becca. God called them, and we have to let them go because God called them. So we know they're in a good place. We know they want to do God's will, but it's okay to miss them. And we are missing them, of course. And so that change is all about what's going on in our lives, and we're facing those changes. So when we look at the hourglass of time, time just keeps changing. The hourglass, when it turns over, reminds that time disappears. It's not going to stay the same. Change happens. When I was in grade school, I thought, man, it seems like this day is eternal. I remember sitting in school thinking it started in the morning and ended at 3, and I thought it was forever. And now I think time goes so fast. Where did my time go? It all seems to change as we go through it. At times, God asks us to make changes in our lives. If we resist that change, we'll miss a blessing that he has for us. He wants us to grow and to be different. There's a challenge in the change, and it causes us at times apprehension. We say, no, Lord, I don't want to go through that change. But he asks us to make those changes. A natural response is to shy away and not to want to do it and to have time to be frozen. But of course, we are in God's hands. And according to him, we are under his care. We're secured by his grace, and we know that God will be there through the changes of our life. So our first thought or teaching point is that God is timeless, so his activity in our lives has eternal implications. God is above time. He's eternal. So as we see time and beginning and ending, he does not see that time because there is no beginning and ending with God. He's above time. So we look at our world that's constantly changing, and we see the ebb and flow of it, and we wonder how the time goes and how the days pass. And we see this sense of change. It's good to know that God never changes. It helps us to know that during our times of change, he does not change. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we see this picture of Jesus, knowing that he's the same throughout all times. And that's, of course, helpful and comforting to us. He doesn't change. His commitment to us doesn't change. His love doesn't change. And his truth does not change. So we know we have help in this life that we go through. So we see this second scripture in Hebrews 13:5, which says, God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we see in the scriptures that in the change of life, God is with us through all of those stages. We're thankful for his promises, we're thankful for his presence, we're thankful for his help as we go through these times when we have change points in our life. In Psalm 32, 8 and 9, it says, I will guide you along the best path in your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. So God says that you can fight and scream and you can yell like the horse with the bridle, or you can accept that I know what's best for your life. So God has a plan for you. He wants you to see your future to be a future that's one of his growth and spiritual development in your life. The second teaching point is this. God is a change agent that calls us to build up the kingdom of God. So one of the reasons that we're asked to change is that so we can build up the kingdom of God, so that he can prepare us and use us in the world that we live in the world around us. In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, it says this, Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen. Come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. I like fishing, and of course, Simon and Andrew like fishing. They make their whole living fishing. And Jesus comes along and says something that changes their life. And he says, come and follow me. They were content being fishermen. And they thought, who is this guy that's coming along asking us to change our professions and our life, to make things uncomfortable for us? Who is this Jesus, and why would I follow him? Simon Peter was a self-made man. He earned his living the hard way. He threw a net over a boat. Some days he had good days, some days he had bad days, but he knew that if he worked at it, he could make a living. Peter was an ordinary man, but he was asked to go through change for the kingdom of God. God took this ordinary fisherman and said that he had a plan to help to build up the kingdom of God. God can take one of us and do the same thing. He can say he wants each one of us to help build up the kingdom of God. Peter was a person that was opinionated, strong-willed, and determined. He had a strong personality. And of course, all of these qualities God needed in a strong leader. So he took this man who was very powerful and strong in his personality and said he needed that kind of leader to help build his kingdom. Simon Peter didn't want to change. This Jesus came along and threw a wrench in his plans. Simon thought, well, I just want to fish till I retire. I just want to keep going until I can't go anymore. You know, I have my life planned out. And then there was this question that Jesus said, come and follow me. He had to think about and he had to wonder about if he was really going to leave the attachments of what he had. Was he really willing to leave his business and what his livelihood was about to follow this man and not know what the end result was going to be? He'd rather catch fish. But Jesus said, come. But Jesus had some promises for him. He had some assurance for him. He had some help for him and his brother and those that followed the disciples. There are three things that he offered to Peter as he called him to be a fisher of men. The first thing was reassurance. He gave him reassurance. There was a day in which Peter had worked all night. He had not caught a single fish. When you're a fisherman, that's a bad day. And I've had a few bad days when I've been out fishing like that, but not too many of them. And you go, why am I doing this? And so you kind of go, gosh, you keep thinking your luck is going to change. So you keep going and going until you think, I'm going to catch that big fish. And eventually you may or may not, but it's fun to try. That's the kind of day that they were having, and there was, of course, nothing in the net. Seemed discouraging, overwhelming, and then Jesus climbed in the boat and said, drop your nets. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. The nets were tearing apart. It was entirely full of fish, and the reaction, of course, of Peter was disbelief. It wasn't that Jesus knew about fishing. He just knew that he needed to call these men into the kingdom of God to help them. So there was a demonstration of his being the Son of God at that moment. At first, and when Peter was called, he said, go away from me to Jesus. Get out of my life. I don't want you in my life. I don't want to do what you're asking me to do. But Jesus didn't go away. Peter says in the text, I'm a sinful man. I'm totally unworthy to be a fisher of men. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. So like Peter, we all have our excuses. We say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't stand up here and sing in front of people even though I have gifts. I can't read the scripture. I can't say a prayer out loud. We all have our excuses why we can't be used, but Jesus said, come, come. And of course, there was reassurance that it would be okay, that if you follow me, I will help you to become fishers of men. There was an invitation in Jesus' words. He said, come and follow me. Of course, the word come is an invitation. You say, come over to my birthday party, come over and watch a football game, come over and watch a baseball game with me. So you invite people into your life and you give them an invitation. And Jesus gave an invitation to Peter and he gave an invitation to you and me to follow him. We're invited into his kingdom. We're invited to follow him. And that's a wonderful invitation. So as we go through those thoughts, we say to ourselves, like Peter, what will it cost me if I come and follow you? What is the price I'm going to have to pay if I do what you say? What are the things I'm going to have to leave behind, as Peter was thinking about Jesus' plea? He was offering him an invitation to be closer to the Lord, to be able to walk with him, to be able to talk with him, to have that contact. And of course, that invitation was an invitation that Peter accepted. But there was a promise in the invitation as well. Peter had no idea what would be involved in saying yes to Jesus. As he went with him, he couldn't imagine or would he have understood that God was going to change the whole world through a few fishermen. He can change the world through fishermen. He can change the world through you and me as we think about his invitation. Peter didn't want his job description to change. He had security in his boat. He had worked hard to pay for it. And of course, he said, you know, there's my investment in life. But yet he left his investment behind and he followed a person, a man that claimed to be the Son of God. That's a lot of uncertainty. That's a lot of change, but he was willing to do it. He could have thought, well, how many evenings and weekends am I going to have to work if I go follow this Jesus? Now I just have to work during the day, 40 hours a week. I don't have to work evenings and weekends. But he could have said, well, geez, now I'm going to have to work evenings and weekends doing this kingdom of God stuff. You know, wow, that's going to be a lot of work for me. I may even have to work overtime without pay. So, and yet he signed the contract and he followed Jesus. Peter made a decision that changed the rest of his life. Peter said, "I'll do it. I'll come and follow you." There's never any turning back. There's never any disappointment when you commit yourself to following Jesus Christ. Your life is fuller, different, and you see the Lord's work as being significant in your life. The third teaching is this: God's plan for us is a reminder that of his great love for us. God loves us greatly. So in this teaching point, we realize that he has a plan. It's all prepared for us. It says in Ephesians 5:17, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So you have this opportunity to be able to do God's will. Well, this week I saw some children and they're playing a game. It's called Follow the Leader. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I saw them and it was kind of fun to watch. You know, you have one kid in the front of the line and they do certain things and everybody has to do what they do, or they jump down, jump up, or they jump down, or they touch their nose or whatever. So if you don't do what the leader does, then you have to go to the back of the line. So you keep going forward and you keep trying and you keep messing up and you keep having to go to the back of the line. So it seemed like, and as I was watching the kids, they were having a great time and they're getting the hang of it and getting better and better and following the leader. And so that's what Jesus is asking us to do. He says, follow the leader. Follow me, the leader, and you will not be disappointed. Do what I do, say what I say, live the way I live, and you will find joy and peace and happiness in your life. God's change equals my gain. Some people are content with a few pennies in their pocket. They live day to day and resist God's presence and hesitate to follow Jesus, the leader. So they end up having to go back to the end of the line and learn the lesson all over again. They have to count the cost and decide, is it worth it to follow Jesus? Similar choices we all have, and we have to say to ourselves, am I willing to go and follow the direction that Jesus leads in my life? Down through the years, many people have found it's better to follow Jesus than to not. They've discovered, like Peter, that if you surrender your life to God, if you surrender and do his work and his plan, that you will find great meaning and great joy in it. As you know, the disciples became world leaders of the church. These fishermen, these ordinary people that had been living their lives in a certain pattern, their life had changed, and God used them to lead the church. They became very committed and very willing to follow Jesus, however it had turned out. And as they saw their Lord crucified, and as he became resurrected, and as he ascended to heaven, they became very bold in their witness. Many of them gave their lives for the cause of Christ. They were martyrs of the faith because they realized and they discovered that following Jesus, there's no turning back. That there's such great joy in doing it and great meaning in doing it that they found that living for Jesus had great purpose in their life. So God asks us to make some changes, to do his work. His call upon us is there. And of course, it's our human nature to resist it all. As we go through our lives, we say that life isn't the same from one stage to the next. We'd like it to stay the same. We'd like a certain stage to be the way it is and to be that way forever, but life goes on and it changes. God wants us to be able to reach our potential and to be able to do his work. So we have a decision to make, and in conclusion of that, say to these words. There's three types of Christians, and this comes from Al Denson, a book called I Gotta Know. So we have a choice to make. The first choice is this: what kind of follower are we? there are those that really don't want to know God's will. So maybe we're in the category of saying, I'm not going to give up my plan of my life to follow Jesus. And they resist it. They don't want to know or do or act out the plan of God. The second possibility is this: those who want to know his will but agree to follow it only if they like what they hear. You're willing to do the will of God as long as it's also what you want to do. And so that puts you in that position of following Jesus in a limited way. The third choice is this: those who want to know God's will and are willing to say yes even before they know what it is. This is the example of Peter. He said yes to Jesus even before he knew what it was that he was supposed to do. He didn't know that there would be hardships. He didn't know there would be persecutions. But he did know that he saw Jesus and knew that his loving Lord would be someone that he would be willing to follow no matter what. So we all have choices to make as we see God's plan folding out before us. What are we going to do? What decisions are we going to make? Are we going to accept that change, or are we going to resist that change? Are we going to let God have his way in our life, or are we not? These are the things that we think about when we think about change and we think about God asking us to go a different direction. As we close our service, I'm going to offer a prayer, and then we'll sing our final hymn. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this service and for the chance to gather together. We are grateful for your invitation to us that you ask us to follow you. We pray that as we go forward in our spiritual lives, that we will say yes to those things that draw us to you, that we'll be able to go forward, be able to live our lives in a way of obedience and faithfulness. Lord, as we go and thank you for this service, we part and thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.